Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers, and welcome to Stranger Than Fiction. I am your co-host, Devin, along with...
Hello, I'm Heidi.
We are the duo behind the YouTube channel Channeling Spirits. We cover all sorts of fun, spooky topics. A good time of year to be watching. Was that supposed to be like Bela Lugosi?
Yes. Or the Count from Sesame Street.
The Count! So thank you for joining us. Heidi, what is Stranger Than Fiction?
Oh, you normally ask me what our channel is.
I know, I wanted to change
it up. I got thrown off.
Boom.
So Stranger Than Fiction is our podcast where we watch an episode or a movie of something spooky and we go over it and see if there are any real correlations in real life.
Yes. So for this episode, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I wanted to, you know, because it is... We consider spooky season like September 1st.
Absolutely.
I mean, debatably all year long, but acceptably in our neighborhood.
Still the first ones to put up Halloween decorations.
Yeah, I'm
proud
of that. I wasn't really sure what to do. So last week we watched, what did we watch? The Boogeyman.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I kept calling, there's a character in The Office called Nate. I kept calling him Ned. He is played by Mark Prokst.
Proksh.
So he's
bullish, I think.
Yeah, he's a wonderful, nerdy, awkward, uncomfortable individual.
You speak English?
Yes, I'm really good at English.
Okay, good. Me too. Get in the car.
And we also, I think he's annoying, and I don't really like him in The Office, but I think he's perfect in What We Do in the Shadows. And there is a new season out. We're not sponsored or promoting it, but it just happened to be kind of on our mind. And I said, well, why don't we do the pilot episode for What We Do in the Shadows, and we can cover energy or psychic vampires. So Mark, and I'm not going to keep trying to say his last name. I'm just going to call him Mark because we're close friends. Mark is in that as a energy vampire called Colin Robinson.
Colin Robinson.
My name is Colin Robinson, and I am what's known as a psychic vampire or energy vampire.
And we love him to death.
Ha!
Get it?
Okay.
It's vampires.
It was better when I did it.
So let's just jump right into it because this is your favorite. It's...
Heidi's dissection.
Okay, so it begins with Guillermo, my favorite. I love him so much, and my friend met him at Dragon Con this past weekend. He's adorbs. Anyway, so it starts with a character named Guillermo, and he is a familiar, a vampire's familiar.
So, and just to preface that, if you're not familiar with the term familiar... a familiar spirit usually accompanied a wizard or witch. They were said to help kind of them practice magic or do things. I don't know in anything that I've read that there's ever been the term human familiar or like a human as a familiar to a vampire. But I think it's a fun concept.
I like it.
Yeah.
So Guillermo is one of the vampire's familiars. So he starts off with the episode of introducing all of the vampires that he lives with. He lives with four of them. So his master, his name is Nandor, the Relentless.
Because I did not relent.
They would call me Nandor, the Relentless. Because I just never relent.
And so they're trying to be cool and show off because it's very much like an office setup where
like
it's a documentary being
like
made about
modern
them.
Family.
Yeah.
But I like that they definitely like break the fourth wall more than a lot of those shows do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll see like at one point the Baron like looks it up and down at the documentary crew and they're just like, yeah, they're filming us. Like it's just what we're doing.
Yeah. So he's going around introducing all of the vampires, starting with Nandor. And then we have Laszlo and Nadia, who are a married couple vampires.
Are they married or
are they
just
married.
Lovers?
They are married.
Because, well, who married them? because he reveals that she
we'll
was
get there.
I just have questions about their marriage.
Okay, so they
Did she
are
wear white?
Married.
Did she
they
wear red,
are
black, purple. Go ahead.
They're married, and the fourth vampire's name is Colin Robinson.
Should we tell Colin Robinson?
Laszlo, that is a terrible idea. Don't ruin the evening.
What would ruin the evening?
So he goes around just introducing all of them, and they have a special guest coming called the Baron, who is a very ancient, very high up in the hierarchy, I guess you'd say, of vampires. I mean, he's a baron. So.
Yeah, and I think like it's kind of maybe it's implied like he sent them to Staten Island originally,
yeah.
You know, when they arrived, whenever they arrived.
Yeah. So he's coming to check in on them. And so they're like, all right, we got to prepare the house for his arrival. We have to have some virgins ready for him to eat. And so Guillermo, being a fantastic familiar, is helping out his master, Nandor, set this up. And
poor Guillermo, like, he is just the butt of everything. Like, I think at one point, like, they're all laughing and Guillermo laughs. He's like, only vampires are laughing.
Vampire only laughing.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Oh, Guillermo.
So he gets some virgins by going to his local LARPing club. For those of you who know what LARPing is.
What is LARPing? I don't know
Live
what LARPing is.
Live action role play.
Yeah.
So very, very nerdy. No offense to anyone who does it. Sounds like a good time for people. So he goes there and he gets some virgins and says, hey, like, we're hosting a LARPing thing in my house. You guys want to come? And they're like, yeah, let's totally do it. So that's how he sets up the virgin feast, if you will. It's really just getting to know the characters in this pilot episode. So
and you, like, Guillermo is just not a terrible person. He, I mean, debatably he is, but he is under, it's been,
he's
what, 10
loyal.
Years?
Yeah. Getting to do it.
I'm sorry. I was trying to explain his motivation.
So it is Guillermo's 10-year anniversary coming up on the night that the Baron is supposed to arrive. So he's been doing so well and being such a good worker for Nandor because he is hoping that Nandor will make him a vampire, which we'll get to if that happens or not at their 10-year anniversary. So anyway, we go back to Nadja, and she is distracted by a human named Jeff.
Well, my name is Jeff.
Jeff.
Yes, she does not like his name. She's convinced that he is her former dead lover named Gregor, so she thinks that he's reincarnated throughout the ages.
Was it Gregory?
Gregor.
Oh.
So she's been with him several times throughout the centuries, and he always gets his head chopped off. And so she's convinced that this guy is him because he looks like him when he's jerking off.
Well, they do a brilliant job. And I appreciate it from a design standpoint that, like, the intro is like a bunch of like old portraits or photographs of like the actors through the ages or the vampires through the ages. And they have like a painting of Gregor that, yeah, they like do like a side by side with like Nadja takes a photo when he's
having fun.
Having some solo time.
Yeah.
And there is an eerie similarity.
Yes. So anyway, she's like, I want to be with you, but I can't. But I want to. Ooh. And she, I love
she's
that.
She's a married vampire.
Yes, she is a married vampire. So she doesn't go with him in this episode. And so she's like, I can't. I can't do this. I got to go. And he's like, wait, can I like get your number? And she's already turned into a bat and flown away. So the Baron arrives and Nandor decorated the attic with some creepy paper, as he says, it's crepe paper.
Creepy paper.
It's crepe paper.
Creepy paper.
Crepe paper, master.
But he thinks it's creepy. I love that. That's how I'm going to refer to it from now on. It's creepy paper.
Creepy. Oh, multi-pack.
But he also, there's this whole shtick where like they're in a, like a Walgreens like store, mm-hmm. like a some sort of like craft but also other things store, and he gets glitter mm-hmm. that he puts on his face because he wants to look like a Twilight vampire.
Absolutely, to
and
impress the Baron.
Just if you haven't seen this show, imagine he's a very tall actor.
6'5".
Yeah, like so very tall. I would say well built. He has this long hair, this like grizzly beard and like kind of, you know, larger nose. So he's just an imposing figure, but he has such a goofy voice, and then he puts the glitter on.
I'm going to sprinkle it on my face and on my body like Twilight.
Yeah, he's my favorite. So they were going to put the Baron's coffin in the basement because that makes sense, right? It's the darkest place of the house. They don't want any errors of light to come in. Guillermo has gone around the house making sure that, you know, all nooks and crannies of light that could pool in are blocked out because vampires, of course, can't be in the light or they explode and die for reals. So he was going to go in the basement, and that is where Colin Robinson actually lives, and the other vampires didn't realize that that's where his bedroom is, and they go down there, and they're like, oh, this is perfect, and then they're like, what is that noise, and they open the door, and it's Colin Robinson just chilling on his bed, and they're like, what are you doing down here, and he's like, I'm resting.
But he's literally just, like, sitting on his bed. He's not doing anything, and he's just, like, staring at the wall, and they're like, What are you doing? And he's like, This is my bedroom.
Yeah. And it's like boring.
Yeah. It's like weird, like green or like cool tones.
Yeah. It's like a basement with like fluorescent lighting.
Yeah. And he's just, and like, that's what I love about his character is he's not invited into like their little meeting. He just like appears like he's constantly, you forget about him.
He's like the friend in your friend group that you like don't actually like.
That no one likes. And you're all like, why do we let this person hang out with us?
Probably to please your mom or something.
Yeah. But he's so wonderfully cast.
He's so great. And so they go into a little bit about him. They show his work life because he can dwell in the daylight because he's different than...
He's a daywalker.
Yes, he's a daywalker. And so he has an office job, of course, with a bunch of cubicles. And so he goes and tells about how he's a psychic vampire or an energy vampire, and how he feeds is by draining people. So he will go and just talk to them about the most boring things and just drain their energy. We all know these people. And it's really, really funny because the things he says are just crack me up.
But he could also like do it by making people angry.
Yes.
So there's like
by annoying them. Oh, so yeah. He like sharpens pencils constantly with like that old like school sharpener, yeah. The electric one, and just like, yeah, just to piss people off. So that's also how he feeds. And he is the only type of vampire that can feed on other vampires. Mm-hmm. So during their little meetings, sometimes he'll slip in and start draining them too, feeding on them. So that's like free food constant because it's just a constant supply of food since he lives with them. Anyway, but it's not as fun, I'm sure. So go back to the Baron. He's in the basement. He's got the really, really cool coffin sarcophagus set up. It's got like a snake on it down the middle, and it opens up dramatically. And he has a familiar with him who hasn't said a word. She's silent.
I don't
just
think
standing
she,
in
does
the corner.
She ever?
No. And so he comes out, you know, kind of like a mummy. He's old, 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 old. He's got like this really creepy, like,
paper.
Kind of
skin,
bat-like. It's
yeah,
like,
bat-like wing skin. I love
like
the
under
makeup.
His arms that like connects. And
he's fantastic. And the first thing he does immediately is goes right for the kill to feed. He kills Nadja and Laszlo's familiar on accident. So he drinks that familiar. And yeah, there's a lot of sexual tension between Laszlo and the Baron and Nadja and the Baron because they allude that they've both slept with him before.
Yeah, and like and interview scenes, they both admit that there was like a love affair with the
Baron.
They've
like both done the Baron at separate times. And so
who does not have
genitals.
No.
That's what made him such a good lover, as Nadja said.
I seem to remember him having genitals.
No, never. That is why he was such a good lover.
So yeah, so once he's emerged, he's like, all right, we're on Staten Island. You know, do you guys rule here? Give me a tour. And they're like, oh yeah, about that. We don't like, we kind of keep to ourselves. And so he gets mad and he's like, you guys are hiding in the shadows. What are we doing in the shadows?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to bed. And pretty much when I awaken, you better have taken over Staten Island.
Yeah.
And
and this whole having seen like the other familiar murdered and eaten in front of him, like poor Guillermo is like,
oh God,
rethinking his life. Like, I don't want to end up like that.
Yeah. And they show Guillermo's bedroom and it's the closet under the stairs. Very Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Just a small little space. But he's got like a picture of him when he was a kid dressed up as a vampire, and he
Which
goes,
I hope it's real. It's so wonderful if it is real, because he's so cute, and doesn't he have, like, long hair?
Yeah, because he's dressed as Antonio Banderas' character in Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah.
Because it was the only Latin American vampire to be in
I feel like ever, but...
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's the motive. That's where we end the episode, is that's your goal, you gotta do it, the end.
Yeah, so, and poor Nandor feels overlooked, because here's Baron, like, having this, like, sexual, like,
tension.
Hello, Laszlo. And he's like, Baron? Hello, Nausha. Oh, Baron? And he's like, my name's Nandor.
Yeah, he's like, I exist too.
Yeah.
And
no, but you missed the best part at the end with Nandor and Guillermo.
Oh, yes, of course. So, finally, Guillermo is kind of dressing Nandor down, getting him ready for bed, put him back in his coffin. And he's like, you don't think I forgot what tonight is? And he's like, what? Like, he remembered? And he's like, it's our anniversary. And he's like, so I got you something.
And he's like, prepare yourself.
He's like, prepare yourself. And so, of course, Guillermo's like, oh, I'm going to be turned into a vampire. So he's like undoing his collar, and he closes his eyes like, oh, I'm going to get bitten. And he opens his eyes, and it's a portrait of Nandor and Guillermo in glitter.
Yeah.
And Guillermo is a vampire. And he's like, look, I made you a vampire.
Look, it's you. I made you a vampire.
He's like, we're vampires.
Yeah. And he's like, this is thanks for working for me for 2 years. And he's like, nah, it's been 10. And
yeah.
He's like, what? Oh, well, good night. And then that's where the episode ends.
Yeah.
Womp, womp.
So absolutely wonderful. If you like... I think it's a good, like, play on some of those mockumentary things, mm-hmm. which I think that's starting to get a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy
but
it.
But this is still good, I think.
Because there's a little bit of the absurdity of a documentary crew watching these atrocities and not intervening. And, like, oftentimes, like, they don't run away. There's a few examples later on where they do.
Well, if you liked the movie, What We Do in the Shadows, you'll love the TV show.
Well, yes. But I'm just saying, if you are sick of that mockumentary style of sitcoms, I think this still does a good job changing up the formula enough and playing with the idea that, like, why would you film these supernatural events and then just be so mundane about them? Like, there's a wonderful juxtaposition there.
Yeah.
We both very much enjoy it. How many stakes would you put in this episode?
10.
10?
10 out of 10.
I'd give it like a 9.5. No, it's probably like a 10 out of 10.
I think it's, for a pilot, I think it's a very good episode.
Yes, it does a very good job introducing many, many characters, introducing motivations, having a lot of good humorous things, starting plot thread lines that mm-hmm. will go throughout the season, and just not being overshadowed by the movie. So
it's different.
What do you like better? Do you like the movie or the show better?
I honestly don't know, because there's so much I love about both. I'm a huge fan of Taika Waititi. So having him as an actor in the actual movie, I love. I think his character is just adorable. I love, love, love his character. Like, he's just so, like, lovely, and, like, he's romantic. He's in love with this older boy. Like, I love him.
He's like a dandy vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so sweet. I love him. So that's what I love. But I love Nandor in the show. I think he's hilarious. I love Guillermo. I love their dynamic. So I do enjoy that. And of course, Colin.
Yes.
Yeah, he's so great.
See, me, hands down, it's the show. I love the show. I thought the movie was okay, but I like the characters in the show so much more. I think, and I'll get into kind of some of the behind the Scream stuff in a bit, but it was a passion project of Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement, and both of them are
You said it with an accent.
Jemaine. both of them are acting in the movie. I don't like Jemaine in...
his character.
Yeah. I don't think it
I think
fits.
I like Laszlo better, especially as Laszlo progresses.
Yeah. So, and they don't just kind of copy and paste from the movie if you haven't seen it. I think there's elements, but what I also enjoy is, and this is slight spoilers here, but those characters from the movie, then later appear on the Vampire Council in the show.
Yeah.
So it is kind of the same universe.
It's like a later generation of vampires.
Yeah. So I think that's a really fun thing that it's like, it is the same universe. Like, this is a continuation and there's some interaction to a degree.
It's cute.
So highly recommended from both of us. I would definitely suggest you start at the beginning. They've got a third season that's coming out that we're enjoying. So let's move on to Behind the Screams. I knew you'd do it. Okay, so to start, we already talked a little bit about the movie. So I want to go back and kind of go through the history, because I think there's some that you don't actually know that I found out when I was researching this.
Wow.
So in 2005, it goes all the way back to 2005, Watiti and Clement actually wrote and directed a short film titled What We Do in the Shadows, Interviews with Some Vampires. And this actually was the precursor to the feature film. It starred some characters that would eventually be in the feature film, but not Taika or Jermaine.
Got it.
So the characters Stu, Deacon, and Nick, if you've watched the movie, are in this. We haven't seen it. I would like to try and track that down.
Oh, I've like, we've seen the movie.
No. This original short. Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously they really enjoyed working together. And so then What We Do in the Shadows was made into a feature film. That debuted in New Zealand on June 19th, 2014, and then it was released in the United States on February 13th the following year.
Cool. So, we knew each other.
Yeah, we did. So this, you know, this concept has been kind of going on throughout for quite a while. The pilot episode of season one, episode one, aired on March 27th, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So still a newer show, but enough time, I think, to get in and enjoy it. This particular episode, and to just as a heads up, the film, and I don't know about the short film, but the film, feature-length film, was written and directed by both Taika and Jermaine. This episode was directed by Taika. The teleplay was by Jermaine. So they had more kind of distinct separation there. Neither of them appear in the episode, but they did have a heavy hand in it. And so I would say, did you really know any of these actors prior to this?
I knew Jermaine.
Did you?
Yeah.
No. Not the movie, the show.
Sorry. No, I didn't. Well, other than Colin Robinson. Mark Prosh.
Yeah, we knew him from The Office. He's apparently in Better Call Saul, and I don't remember him.
What?
In Better Call Saul.
We're going to have to rewatch it.
We haven't seen like the fifth season, so maybe it's the fifth season he's
in. Wait, there was more? I thought we finished it.
No.
Oh.
I don't know if Better Call Saul is like over yet.
Oh.
But anyway, for us, they were largely unknowns. So I don't have a whole lot of fun facts because the stuff they were in before, I was like, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a lot of breakout stars because they're all very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I found out, and I already told you this, but the Baron is played by the amazing and incredible Doug Jones.
Yes.
You may not know Doug Jones, but you know Doug Jones.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to Buffy, one of our favorite episodes, The Gentleman, he plays the lead gentleman. He in Hocus Pocus, he is Billy.
Hi, Billy.
In Pan's Labyrinth, he plays Pan and it's like the eyeless man or the
eyeball
guy,
thing.
Yeah,
the eyeball hands.
I forget the character's name. In Shape of Water, he is the gill man
creature.
And he's also Abe Sabian, so he works a lot with Guillermo del Toro. He is rarely seen not completely as a creature or in heavy makeup, but he is wonderfully gaunt and lanky.
He's so good at becoming something creepy and different, and I love him.
I believe he was professionally trained as a mime.
Yes.
And so it really shows in a lot of his wonderful physical expressions and the fact that he can endure, I'm sure, hours and hours and hours of makeup and testing and getting all those creature makeup on. To me, he's a modern day Lon Chaney Sr. and Jr. And really, I think, deserves so much more respect. And he needs like an Academy Award.
I would love to have like the makeup on that he's got. Like, oh, you'd I'd love fun. To look like a creepy creep. That's like my favorite thing is being creepy.
But
on stage.
He's so covered in makeup, like I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah.
And it should have.
But as soon as you said it, I could see it in his mannerisms.
Yes.
Like, yeah, so great.
And because like you don't really know, because he rarely speaks in a lot of his work, mm-hmm. like I don't instantly recognize Doug Jones's voice if he's heavy in makeup, which I think also adds to just his wonderful ability to kind of disguise. Mm-hmm. So but anyway, there's a lot of fun little references to other vampire films and shows. And,
like Twilight.
Yes. And this is kind of a reoccurring thing that they do. In fact, they really make it kind of meta in later seasons. And I don't want to spoil kind of too much because there's fun moments. But there's clearly a lot of love for vampire fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Nandor, who kind of rises like Count Orloff in Nosferatu, that mm-hmm. very iconic just kind of 45 degree angle just rise. As we mentioned, Guillermo talks about Antonio Banderas in Interview with the Vampire. With the Vampire.
Oh.
I know, I always screw it up. And I'm sure someone would
correct us.
Yeah, it's...
What's it called?
Mandela Effect.
Yes.
Yeah. Interview with the Vampire. And I apologize if I say Interview with a Vampire, because I always want to... That's always my go-to.
That's blowing my mind.
It is. I know. As you mentioned, Nandor with the glitter as Twilight, which really confuses me, because it's like, okay, so somehow in this universe, these movies are movies,
mm-hmm.
but also, like, the characters might be real?
No, I think it's just... Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Anyway, if you know what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about. Nadja and Laszlo. My Chicago came out there. They swoop down on that couple, very much like Lost Boys.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a fun little moment. According to an interview with the Globe and Mail, Watiti and Clement say their favorite vampire films were The Lost Boys.
Nice.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Fantastic.
And Interview with the Vampire.
Nice. All winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All things that they do a lot of winks and nods to. If you're not familiar with Bram Stoker's Dracula, one, it's...
Phenomenal.
It's definitely in like my top 20 films.
Yeah.
Francis,
it's so good.
Francis Ford Coppola directed. He did almost like all of it as practical effects. And there's a lot of other videos that have kind of gone in depth, but they really try to emulate that and do as much practical effects. Obviously, there's some like when it turns into a bat, there's some CGI there.
Bat!
So I think that was really cool that they really... not only love the lore and that comes out, there's fun little nods and they really appreciate filmmaking also.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things that they do in the show is when they fight, they get mad at each other. They just like bare their teeth and hiss at each other like my cat does. It's great.
So moving on to
the truth.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
So Heidi, what do you know about energy vampires? I'm just going to stick to saying energy vampires rather than energy / psychic vampires because we'll be here all day.
Yeah, you're draining me right now.
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I definitely know that there are people out there who definitely drain your energy, whether it's intentional or not. It could be someone just trying to be friendly and maybe they don't have a lot of social skills and can pick up on social cues when someone is not interested. I am forever that person who will be nice. Even
to a point of hating yourself.
Yep.
Where you like
you
do
can
this
always
slow
tell,
walk away.
I mean, you can tell when I zone out because I do it to you sometimes.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't know much about the supernatural element of an energy vampire, though.
No, tell me more.
Okay, so I'm going to talk very because there's not honestly a whole lot in regards to lore, but there is one source that I really drew from because I thought it had a lot of great information. So Dion Fortune, which you may be familiar with if anyone's ever kind of dived into the occult, especially Western hermetic magic. She was a magician and an author. And in 1930, she wrote a book called Psychic Self-Defense. And she talks about witnessing a supposed psychic vampire with her mentor, who she simply calls Adep Z. So this is the following account that she gave in this book, which is interesting.
Okay.
This lad, who we'll call D, was taken as a boarder in a flat, which the student shared with another woman. They soon began to be troubled with a curious phenomena. But at the same time, every evening, the dogs in the neighboring mews began a furious outcry of barking and howling. And a few moments later, the French window leading to the veranda would open. It would not matter how often the locksmith got to it, nor how they barricaded it. Open it would come at the appointed time, and a cold draught swept through the flat. This phenomena took place one evening when Z was present, and he declared that an unpleasant, invisible entity had entered. They lowered the lights and were able to see a dull glow in the corner he indicated, and when they put their hands into this glow, felt a tingling sensation such as is experienced when the hands are put into electrically charged water. They began a mighty spook hunt up and down the flat, and the presence was finally cornered and dispatched in the bathroom. I have staged the incident somewhat more picturesquely in my story, but the essential facts are the same. The result of dispatching this entity was a marked improvement in the condition of the boy patient and the elicitation of the following story. D was in the habit of going to sit with a cousin who had been invalided home from France, suffering from alleged shell shock. I'm going to pause right here. This next bit might be a little bit uncomfortable, so there's a little slight content warning here. This is just per the author. I don't know the veracity of this, but I thought it was really interesting. This young man was another scion of a worn-out stock, and it transpired that he had been caught red-handed in the unpleasant perversion called necrophilia. According to the story elicited from the parents of D, the vice was not uncommon on certain sections of the front, as with the attacks on wounded men. They're talking about the front in probably World War I. The authorities were taking drastic steps to put it down. Owning a family influence to the cousin of D was able to escape incarceration in the military prison and was placed in the care of his family as a mental case, and they put him in charge of a male nurse. It was while this male nurse was off duty that the unfortunate young D was misguidingly employed to sit with him. It also came out that the relations between D and his cousin were of vicious nature, and on one occasion he bit D and had always been under the impression that some ghost attacked him during his cries, but had not dared to say for fear of being thought mad. What may have been the exact percentages of neurotic taint, vice, and psychic attack, it is difficult to say, nor is it easy to decide which of these predisposing cause that opened the door for all the trouble. But one thing stood out clearly to all beholders, that the dispatch of the psychic visitant not only did Dee's condition clear up immediately, but after a short, sharp upheaval, the cousin also recovered. The method of dispatch used by Adept Z was to pin the entity inside a magic circle so that it could not get away and then absorb it into himself through compassion. As he completed the operation, he fell over backwards unconscious. It's kind of weird stuff.
Huh?
What do you mean, huh?
What?
Well, first of all, there's this cousin that was caught with doing necrophilia.
With dead dudes in the battlefield.
Yup. And then, you know, got pulled out. So then he didn't go to a mental hospital, which I'm sure were not in a good condition, especially back in World War I, and allegedly had a psychic vampire. So I want to actually kind of jump to this next part, because what's interesting is she also offers what her mentor thinks happened regarding this.
Okay.
Though there were no means of obtaining independent confirmation of this, was that some Eastern troops had been brought to the Western Front, and among these were individuals with the traditional knowledge of black magic from Southeastern Europe that has always enjoyed a sinister reputation among occultists. These men getting killed knew how to avoid going to the second death, that is to say, the disintegration of the astral body, and maintain themselves as an etheric double by vampirizing the wounded.
Hmm.
Now, vampirism is contagious. The person who is vampirized, being depleted of vitality, is a psychic vacuum. So they themselves then absorb anyone they come across in order to refill their depleted resources of vitality. So that, I think, is a really interesting... It makes sense to me if you...
I'm glad you understand.
Okay, so imagine this, right? So there are these unsavory people that they didn't want to die the second death. So think of them like ghosts, if you will, because they still have their astral form.
Yeah, so it's like their soul.
And in order to maintain themselves, they become psychic vampires. So their body died, their astral double didn't because magic, and they prey upon people. So if I'm a psychic vampire in an astral form, I prey upon you. You're drained of all your psychic energy, let's say. So then you become a vacuum and you absorb energy from other people and you are a physical psychic vampire. Does that make sense?
I guess.
Well, that's the belief here that was offered. Mm. And I think that's interesting that you have kind of two types of psychic vampires. You have an astral vampire, possibly, that then is also creating in a similar manner that a physical, like traditional vampire would make a vampire, and then you would have to feed on someone and turn them into a vampire, and you know, it's like a pyramid scheme.
It's the circle of life,
of vampires,
of undead life.
So the term psychic vampire was popularized in the 1960s by Anton LaVey. You may know him because he is the founder of the Church of Satan.
Ah, yes, we're friends.
LaVey wrote on the topic in his book, The Satanic Bible, and he claimed he coined the term, which I think is pretty easy to debunk since I literally just read a very archaic passage from a 1930 book that was probably a little confusing. But, I mean, LaVey would claim all sorts of stuff, so I don't really put much stock into that. But his use of the term psychic vampire meant a spiritually or emotionally weak person who drains vital energy from people. So, I mean, pretty much I think what a lot of people consider, but there's also a subculture of people who present themselves as vampires and they...
Like real vampires?
Yeah, I'm talking about like, you know, like people who dress and say like, I'm a vampire.
Yeah.
And
don't hate.
Well, there are people who...
Drink
in
blood.
This. No, but in this, they are psychic vampires.
Oh.
So as opposed to drinking blood, they're still like, but I'm a vampire. I'm just a, but not like a Colin Robinson. Like they probably, I would say dress.
And they probably have fangs.
Yeah. So one of them, Michelle Bellinger, as a self-described psychic vampire, she wrote a book called The Psychic Vampire Codex, A Manual of Magic and Energy Work. And she claims that they can actually heal others, and I'm not really without
that's getting
having...
into some like Reiki, like,
but
you
if
know
you're
what
a
I'm
psychic
about?
Vampire, right? Presumably, you are draining.
I think, yeah, exactly. I don't think you could heal someone, then you would be an energy healer.
It's totally different. I haven't read her book or this section, so I'm not really sure what the argument is, but I wanted to include that because I was like, what? That's like saying like, oh no, vampires can heal you by taking away your anemic blood. No, what? No.
I mean, if you had a blood disease.
That just means you have less blood and a disease. All right, so let's move on to I want to believe. Heidi, have you ever met a psychic vampire that like you can distinctly remember? I think we've all run into people that drain us, but can you like distinctly remember a person?
No.
Neither can I, which I almost like wonder, I mean, this is like conspiracy level thinking, but like do you kind of willfully forget? But I like really rack my brain, be like, I'm sure I've met someone like this, like Colin Robinson, but they're almost so forgettable that then you like you can't remember them.
I don't know.
Do you think psychic vampires or energy vampires are real? Not just because I think there's
people who just drain you, and I think there's people who can drain you intentionally or do things to get an emotional response to you and feed on that, if you will. But do I think that it's feeding someone without them eating? No.
So do you think of them more like hyper extroverts?
They're just energy goblins, man.
So you don't think that there might be some sort of astral entity or like a disembodied spirit that could also prey on people's energy?
Nah.
You don't... I feel like you do, Mon.
I think you do, Mon.
I don't know.
I think...
Heidi, in the current moment, says no.
I wouldn't rule it out. I could believe... I think there's a lot of different types of spirits that we haven't necessarily classified. I think there's... I think... I'm curious on like what subsists a ghost, and this is a whole another topic that I don't want to go too far down, but like what do ghosts feed on, and are they considered almost vampiric? You know, because some people think that they feed on like electricity, or they stir up...
I don't think they feed on anything.
Well, then how do they continue to exist? Anyway, I think that there are
screams.
There is a possibility, just opening doors. Yeah. They love doing that. I think there's a possibility. I think anyone who is in a vampire subculture and you think you're a psychic vampire, good for you. I think you're a little misguided.
So, fun fact.
Uh-oh.
When I was a kid, that's a lie. When I was an adult, I went to the dentist.
Did you try and bite the dentist?
No, I asked them if they could sharpen my teeth to be like I'd have vampire fangs. I literally asked.
How, when you say adult,
how? Like college?
Okay, good. It was before you met me.
Yeah.
What was...
They said no. Because I don't know about you, but I look hot with vampire fangs in, and that's why I have my fake pair, and I love making videos with them or just wearing them. In college, I used to just wear vampire fangs to like Denny's. Like,
that doesn't surprise me. I don't know how you ate, but
I took them out.
So were you asking to have them just your canines sharpened?
Yeah.
Like not like yeah. traditional fangs.
Yeah, I just wanted them sharpened. And they said no.
Of course. That's like... I am curious what cosmetic surgeon would
well, because...
Do that.
Well,
no, I'm saying...
I mean, you can get it done.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. I'm curious, like, do you have to go to, like...
A special...
Yeah.
I'm a vampire tooth fairy.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, augmentation that you can do to your body. But, all right, so you think that there's a little bit more terrestrial explanation for an energy vampire.
Yeah.
I'm siding with, I think there's a possibility that there could be something traveling around preying on people.
Something in the water.
Nope, it'd be in the air, floating around.
Yeah, I know, it was a song.
Nope, it's a bad song.
That's okay.
No. Yeah. So tell us what you think. I'm curious if other people watch What We Do in the Shadows, if they love Colin Robinson as much as we do. There's a lot of other more focused episodes on Colin Robinson, mm-hmm. and they... Because I think there's not a whole lot of lore on energy vampires, it's interesting to kind of see them almost build that lore that energy vampires can prey on other energy vampires. Mm-hmm. And that's a fun little episode. And like, what happens when they maybe become a little overpowered? And where do they come from? And that, not to get into too much spoilers, but they already kind of dangled that carrot in the third season,
mm-hmm.
that he's like asking, he's like, well, where did we come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, now I want to know, because there's not a whole lot of lore on them. So let us know what you think. Let us know if, you know, maybe we should cover a little bit more What We Do in the Shadows. It's hard because...
So many great episodes.
Well, and most of them are just about vampires and...
Should we do an episode on just vampires?
I mean, we will. We will probably do more than one episode because there's a lot to cover.
True Blood.
No, I don't want to do True Blood.
I do.
Ugh.
Vampire porn.
Oh, no. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We are always happy to have you join us, especially as spooky season is just, it's here. I was going to say just around the corner.
It's here. Doesn't feel like it, but it is.
Yeah. Now we just need a little bit more cooler temperature.
Yes, that would be.
You already had your pumpkin spice latte.
I have one every day. I've had one every day since August 16th when they came out.
All right.
I'm not kidding.
I am not thinking you are. All right. Well,
gotta keep the ginger hair ginger.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Bye.